And so many people, but some people watch the videos. So we kind of lost part of that, but we got it on audio anyway. I hate to lose the classes because I put so much into them to get them, the material to you. I've never quit studying. You can't. It's just, one of my teachers used to say that, he was in his 70s, he says, where are you going, Brother Hubbard? He said, I'm going to study. I got to teach. And I was young at that time. And I said, what in the world is he going to go study? Now I do know. You have to stay sharp, and you have to be excited about the material that you're presenting to the people. And I hope it's exciting to you, because it is exciting to me. And I learn more all the time. It's just, the Bible is a living book. It's alive. And we're going to study that tonight. That's part of the lesson tonight. And 2 and verse 3. A. Igeistaste. Kote. Christos. Ho. Kyrios. Someone turn with me, if you have a Bible, to Psalm 34 and verse 9. There's a Hebrew word, toba, or toba, that means good. Okay? And that's in, this is what it's talking about here. In verse 2, it tells us that new believers are born hungry. And children of God, I had a student in my Sunday morning class. He hadn't been to class for quite a while, having some problems or everything, and he hadn't been here. And he was in class Sunday morning, and he was alive with questions. I mean, alive with questions. And it encourages a teacher to see somebody hungry like that, because they're hungry for the Word of God. All right, someone have that for me, Brother Gary?
Yeah, did you say 34:9?
I think it's 34:9.
Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him.
Okay, 33 in verse 9, if that's
33?
It.
For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast.
That's not the right place. It must have been 34 in verse 9. It must be in Hebrew and not in King James. But anyway, for the word the Lord is there. It's talking about the good God. The good God. Okay? And the Hebrew word is toba, and it means the good guy. Here it is Christos. Christos. And that's a kind of an adjective describing, yes.
34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah, 34:8?
Yes.
All right, that's what I wanted. Thank you, young lady. I'll cross it. 34 and verse 8.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him.
All right. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, this adjective, this word good. Now, what did Jesus, he took his church up into an upper room one time. This is just before he was going to die for us. And what did he do? He had a memorial supper there, didn't he? And what did he do in the supper? Young lady, you remember what he did?
Well, he washed their feet.
Well, he washed their feet to begin with to show the humility that God had come down to serve mankind. All right, he was a servant. And what did he do after he washed his feet at dinner table? He broke bread and he said, This is my body, which I give to you for a new covenant, a new contract. And then he took the cup and he said, This get them off that taste on blue. All right, that's literally what he said. The fruit of the vine, this fruit of the vine is the cup of the new covenant. He drank this is my blood. Alright? This was typifying the death that he would die on the cross of Calvary. And this could be referring back to that very time that Peter remembered when the Lord said this. And he said, and they said, well, the one of them wanted to be better than the other, and who was going to be the leader? And he said, can you be baptized with a baptism? Oh, yes! Can you be baptized with the baptism that I've been baptized? Oh, yes, sir. Peter said, I'll never deny you. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He denied him. Well, Peter's remembering here, and this also in Psalm 34 and verse 8 could even refer, some theologians say, to the Lord's Supper, that memorial supper, the memorial of his death, that we, when we take the Lord's Supper in the Lord's churches, we remember his death. It's not to get us saved, but remember what he did for us. Simple as that. And it says, since ye have tasted for yourself that good Lord, bond you, as it is in another language, the good Lord, the good God that he is. Is God good to us? He provides for us, even through our most horrible hours of temptation. He's there. He's there. If you look to him, you have to turn your back on God. If you're tempted and you go the other way, you have to turn your back on God to do that. Because he was there to help you through it. You can make every kind of excuse in this world to do the sins that you want to say, but God is there to help you. And when you're sick, when you have loss in your life, God is there to comfort you. Because he is our good God. He is our good God. Taste him. The Lord is good. All right. In verse number 4, there's some tremendous, these are tremendous verses. There's a lot of theology in them. My stone and the master stonemason. In this verse here, the eternal living stone and the master stonemason. Hello, young lady, and hello, young man. It's good to see you tonight. I better write you down here. We're on 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. First Peter 2 and 4. The eternal living stone and the master stonemason. Someone turned with me to Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Because before we can understand this one, we have to go there. And also in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, it tells a lot about what we're talking about here. And Isaiah 28 and verse 16, and 2 Samuel 22, 2, 3, and verse 32. Some of these 16 and 18 look great.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
All right. Now, much of the religious world believes that the Lord founded his church upon Peter. All right. But that's not what Peter's going to say right here in 1 Peter. And that's really not what it said right there.
Yes, I was visiting door to door one time, and we encountered this guy who, that was his religion. He said he wanted to give us a revelation that that the church was founded on Peter, not the Lord.
But that's not what it says here. All right, now read that to me again, please. In Matthew 16 and 18.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Okay, in the original language, I'm doing this from memory, but it says, moreover, I say unto you that you are a little rock, a little stone. But, that's an adversity conjunction there, all right? But, upon this gigantic foundation stone, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter got wrestled down, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Peter was killed, huh? He was killed. Mm-hmm. But he says, the gates of hell would not prevail against his assembly. Now, Catholicism, the whole foundation of their religion is upon Matthew 16 and 18, that Peter was the first pope. If anybody was the first pope, it had to be Paul. If there had been one, but there wasn't. That was not something that was left to go. We had our revelation. The apostles even ceased after the Bible was completed. All right. And he says here, moreover I say unto you, that you are Petros, a little stone. Petros, that's the masculine gender, by the way. And when it's in the masculine gender, it means it's a small stone. Okay? But, adversative conjunction, I say unto you, that upon this rock, Petra, 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 now that's in the feminine gender. This gigantic stone, like the rock of Gibraltar, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. Mm-hmm. That she would all exist, all through this whole age. The church is going to exist from here all the way to the rapture. That's God's timetable for his church. We have a job to do in this world. Now, a foundation stone, we're going to get down here where we see what a foundation stone is later. But how many of you know what a cornerstone or a foundation stone is? What is that? We don't really think about that much today. But when they built buildings back at this time, they were built out of stone. And the cornerstone, basically all of the weight of the whole, most of the building was set upon that cornerstone. And it was a large stone. And they would pick out a real dense stone, and they would clean it all up real good, and then they would polish it to see if there's any cracks in it. The reason why they polished it was to see if there were any flaws, to see if it would hold the weight. Now, remember in the Old Testament, there was a guy by the name of Samson. Remember Samson? All right, Samson was that was a backslider. That was the story of a child of God. God gave us in that went the wrong way. Every time there was a fork in the road, he went the wrong way, didn't he? But he just finally got tired of his life and says, God, I've made all these mistakes, but if you'll give me the strength one more time, I will bring you the biggest glory that I could give you in my death. And what did he do? He talked to a lad and says, lad, take me to the foundation stone pillars of this building and let me feel it. And he pushed those stones and that whole building fell down and killed all of those people. They were in there worshiping in ecstasy the gods of Satan and demons and blaspheming God all the time they were doing it. That foundation stone that those pillars were set upon were the foundation stones that held up this whole pillar. When they were taken out, they would look at those stones, they would clean them all up, and they would smooth them out, and they'd polish them to see if there were any flaws or cracks in them, because it had to be flawless. Mm-hmm. Our foundation stone is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is without flaw. Mm-hmm. And the cruelty of this world polished Him to a bright, shining God that He was. Mm-hmm. Perfect, without flaw, without spot, or without blemish. Pros. Hone. Pros. Hone. Pros erikomenoi. Lithon. Zonta. Hippo. Anthropon. Men. Apo dedo kri ki mas meno.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a word, isn't it? Apo dek do ki mas meno. Here's the easy one. Para.
Dei.
Theo. Eklepton. Iptimon. All right. It says, to whom approaching a stone living. The stone living, all right? Whom approaching there is a living stone. Now, this is kind of a play on words. You don't see it in English. You don't see it in any other language except the original languages. He uses the word here, lithon, that's masculine. But when he talks about the word living, it's in feminine. Why, or not feminine, but in neuter. Why would it be a neuter? But he's talking about this foundation stone. is talking about a living soul. It is Christ who the soul is. But grammatically, it's supposed to be neuter. And when Jesus referred to himself as a foundation rock in Matthew 16 and verse 18, that rock was feminine. Why? It grammatically had to be feminine because it had to be this foundation stone. If it had been masculine, then they would have thought it was Peter. Mm-hmm. Alright? It had to be different. Grammatically, this is wrong, but theologically, this is correct. Alright? And we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. And there's where it makes the differences, right here, like this. The living stone. All right, the stone living. By the agency of men, it says, indeed, or on the one thing, having been rejected. But by God, elected and picked out to be precious. All right? By men, how was Jesus treated? Rejected. I've said this 100 times in my classes. Jesus was not a carpenter. He was a stonemason. He used stonemason terms. And this is a stonemason term. Now, does that make more sense as you look at the Word of God? The master stonemason and the master foundation stone. The one that had been making foundation stones and cutting stones all of his life. Now he refers to himself as the cornerstone of many that he had polished. Mm-hmm. Who would know better than a master stonemason? Mm-hmm. This is what you call it. I had a guy tell me one time he was a journeyman everything. He was a journeyman carpenter. He was a journeyman electrician. He was a journeyman pipe fitter. He was a journeyman everything. Baloney. This man was a journeyman stonemason. And he was the foundation stone. Alright? It says, by the agency of men, he has having been rejected. Having been rejected. Having been judged to be defunct. How did Israel treat their king and their Messiah? They rejected him. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, did they? They did not want him to be their king. And they plotted against him. They plotted his death. They paid a man to show who he was so they could murder him. These are the religious leaders. This is the head of the religion in that time. And Jesus told them that they were bankrupt. Their religion was bankrupt. And not only did they kill him and murder him, but they believed the prophecy where that Jesus said that he was going to be raised from the dead. So that they paid off Jewish guards to say that he didn't rise. Those weren't Roman soldiers, by the way. Those were Jewish guards. Pilate would not give them a Roman guard. How many of them in the movies and stuff you've seen Roman soldiers standing there guarding the tomb? They got their theology a little bit wrong because they weren't Roman soldiers. Pilate refused to give them Roman soldiers. He said, just take your guys and do the best you can with them. But they hadn't done very good. Roman government was ahead over all of them. And a Roman soldier was absolutely looked upon as unbeatable. Their discipline was unbeatable. They were men of iron. He said, you take your little Jewish soldiers and do the best you can. Because I've washed my hands of you already. Well, they paid their Jewish soldiers to lie. They lied. And then he says, but by God, here's this word they again, brother. This is the word that's back over there in Matthew 16 and 18. But by man you have been rejected. You have been judged defunct. But by God. And here we have the instrumental use, but by. See the word theo there? We have locative, instrumental, and they. We have an instrumental use here of by God. But by God, it says here, picked out. And entomon Antimon, that means precious. Precious. We talked about his precious blood earlier, didn't we? In a few verses ahead of this. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We know that mankind, when my son was telling me about a guy the other day. Some people get older. People say it's time for somebody to die, and if it's not your time, you're not going to die. There's just nothing, you're going to get to it. This guy was working on a combine, a harvester. And he was out, he jumped off and stopped and stuck. And he jumped off and got out there in front of it and started up while he was down there and tore both of his arms completely off. Just ripped them off of him. He got up and walked a quarter of a mile to his house, got the phone some way and poked around on it and dialed 911 and got in the bathtub. So he wouldn't bleed all over everything. And then when he got there, he told him where his arms were. They went and got him and reattached him to him. I'll tell you what, the blood that that man was shedding was precious to him. It was precious. You know, when you're losing your blood, that's precious. I mean, how many of you have seen your blood going down?
You can't see
yeah. That's a miracle. He better figure out what God wants him to do. That's all I can say. Because God was with him. But blood's precious. And cornerstones are precious, aren't they? Because they're a good to be a corner, be a certified cornerstone. It is cleaned all off, polished, and made sure that there are no cracks because it's going to hold the weight. Now, why isn't the world able to wrestle down God's churches? Not because of us, but because of the foundation stone on which we are founded. It's Jesus Christ. All right? Precious. And the word is ek-lekton. That means picked out. Remember the word Lego? It comes from ek and Lego. And Lego means I speak literally, but it also means I pick. I pick. I was telling my wife today, when I was a young kid and I earned money, I was out in Deacon's farm over there on Deacon Road picking peaches and picking figs and picking strawberries and blackberries and everything I could pick. I'd go out there and pick these things and put them in baskets and bring them up there, and they'd pay me for so many, you know, how much a nickel a basket or whatever it was. I'd pick these things up. And I didn't pick any rotten ones and take them either because he wouldn't pay me. Alright? Well, it says, but to God, picked out and precious. Elected. Elected. Picked out and precious. God did not found your foundation and your salvation on you. Did you know that? A lot of people think that they're doing something for God, that God really, really couldn't, in this time and age, that He couldn't exist without them. They're so great and so important. But Jesus Christ is our foundation, and He is our salvation. He is our salvation. He is the only salvation in the world. Not Charles Russell, not Mary Baker Eddy, not Herbert Armstrong, not any of these people that say that they have new revelations, not Joseph Smith. These are too late revelations. Besides that, what we find out here in Matthew 16 and 18 and right here, that there is no other foundation that can be laid. It's not Joseph Smith, not Herbert Armstrong, not Charles Taze Russell. They're too late. The foundation was laid hundreds of years before them. And they said that the Lord's churches faded away. That they died in the dark ages. I got news for you. Jesus said it couldn't happen. You know that between 50 and 100 billion Baptists died for the faith during the dark ages. Well, from the time of Christ all the way down to where we are today. 50 to 100 million. Now what gave them the grace to stand for the truth? It was a gift of God. It wasn't them. But it was God who empowered them. If you ever do anything for God, it will be because of God that empowers you. It is the God that empowers us. He is the one that gives us the strength to do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5. And this is kind of a long verse. Kai. Altoi. Tos. Lithoi. Zontes. Oiko. Domeste. Oikos. Pneumatikos. Ace. Heratuma. Hagion. Ame. Nekke. Pneumatikos. Theseos. Euprosdectus. Theu. Dia. Esu. Christu. And then it says, also yourselves. This little word chi there, it's used in a lot of different ways. You can look it up on page 208. And it's a little cumulative particle out here. It gathers up things. And what he says here is, here's some more of this sentence here also. Also yourselves as stones living. Now here's the master stonemason, and he's making little stones.
Mm-hmm.
What has made this building stand? I mean, we're talking about spiritual building. We're not talking about church buildings. But down through the ages, God's churches have stood. It says, also yourselves as stones living. Now here we have nominative plural masculine. Not the number in the other one, but nominative plural masculine. This is his churches that he's talking to. And the leaders, the pastors of those churches that will carry the word down through all the ages. Living. And then it says being domed up. Oiko domeste. Oikos is the word for house. Oikos. Tell you that. Oikos. Because right over here, we might have it. Just another word over. Oikos. And then we have the word dome here. Domeo. We got our word dome. How many of you have ever seen the Dome of the Rock? That's the Mosque of Omar in the middle of Jerusalem there with a big gold dome. That's the Dome of the Rock. The word dome, our word dome, comes from this Greek word dome. Okay? Domeo. And when you dome a house up, what do? Put a roof on it. Alright? You put a roof on a house. It says, being built up. Second person plural. Ye are being built up. The house is being built. And this house, oikos, is pneumatikos. What is the word for spirit in Greek? Pneuma. All right, spirit. Okay? This word here is spiritual. A house spiritual. Now, how many of you on the way to church tonight saw houses being built? In the process of being built. We passed a lot of them from where we live. We live out there in the sticks, way out there by Bear Mountain Boulevard, almost to Netford. 3.5 miles past half highway, almost 4 miles. We've passed a lot of houses being built. Well, this is talking about houses being built down through the ages. That God would have churches all the way down through the ages, and these houses are going to be built out of stones. But there's only one cornerstone. And the men in each age really don't make a difference. Don't really matter. I mean, there's great men come and go and fall and whatever, you know, as we hear preachers and lessons and sermons, and sometimes they're 200 or 300 years old, and a guy left a written sermon. How many of you ever heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Spurgeon Tabernacle in England. He was so famous that he never preached to one empty chair. Here we got several of them here tonight. You know, I mean, this is, for some reason, we're not filled up tonight. But Spurgeon never preached to an empty chair. In all his life. And every time he preached a sermon, he wrote the whole sermon out. He read the sermon as he would preach it. And the newspapers printed his sermons because he was so famous. They would print his sermons. Of course, now they didn't have television back then. They didn't have radio. They didn't have CD. They didn't have PlayStation or nothing like that. All right. They had a captive audience back then. Today, I don't know how well Spurgeon would have done. He might have had an empty seat or two there. But he's gone. His sermons, you can read many of his sermons, are still in existence, but the man is with the Lord. He's gone. He came and went. What made him great? If you ever preached a great sermon, what made him great? Okay.
God.
All of my whole life, I have tried to absolutely found my ministry on one thing, and that is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to communicate the Word of God in its purest form to people so they could see it undiluted, untranslated, and all reality just comes right straight out of Greek, right straight out of Hebrew. House being built, a spiritual house. It says in this word ace there, look at that little Greek preposition ace. That means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what it means. It says a spiritual house unto a priesthood. This word here, sometimes you can't really translate it. It's real hard to understand. You can understand the action of it. God is building a spiritual priesthood to bring about, and He uses churches in every age because He calls you, each individual in His churches, He calls them for a job. And those churches help you to carry out that work. You, in history, if the Lord doesn't come back for 200 years, which I think is absolutely impossible, because of the end times that we live in and the prophecy fulfilled. But if He doesn't, each and every one of you have a job to do. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect." That's a funny word, that word perfect. It comes from the word telos. And it means an end result. God does not call you ever to do anything that you can't do. That He provides the way and the means and the power to do it all the way through. And what He calls you to do, you are able to do it, and you will have an effect. Remember I told you here the other day, I said, do something that's eternal today. Go out and do something eternal. Not just fooling around with you can go wash your car if you want to, polish your wheels in the car. You can go paint your house. You can go clean out your flower beds. You can do a lot of things. You can go make $1,000 a day for the next 30 days. But those things are not eternal.
Mm-hmm.
You speak to one person about Jesus Christ, that's eternal. Mm-hmm. You lead one person to Jesus Christ, that's eternal. You build somebody up. You pray with somebody because they're hurting. That's eternal. Those are eternal things. God calls you to do eternal things, not this foolishness that we live in the world. Eternal things. I talked to a friend of mine, Jerry Gibson, today, and he says, you know what? He said, that website is going to go live on after we're dead. There's some real neat things on there that people can... He said, that's been a great investment in time. And people all over the world are being reached with it. They're being built up in the Word of God. We get little comments like from missionaries and pastors and saints. One guy says, thank God for this site. It is the greatest thing that I have ever seen anywhere. And he says, I thank God for it. And what makes it so great? Because you can study the Word of God from this thing. And thank you too, Brenda, for your little comment on there. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have signed in since then. It's just people have, it's been precious to them. Those are eternal things. Every one of you that have made contributions or helped in any way of doing that, this stuff, that's eternal things.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that will go on further and beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
a priesthood holy. And then it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. How do you make up your spiritual sacrifice? It says to offer up, to bring up, to carry up, Anna and Pharaoh, okay, spiritual, pneumaticals, and then theseos. Theseos, what is that? The term theseos means to slay. If you ever do anything for God, you're going to have to slay the flesh. Did you know that? You are. If you ever do anything for God, you will have to slay your flesh. Paul said, I give it the knockout blow. What do you want to do on Sunday morning? Go play at the beach? Take off to the mountain? Or serve God and glorify God? Do something eternal. What's more important? Chasing around all over the country or going and doing your thing as one of those stones? All right? Spiritual sacrifices, offering up spiritual sacrifices, slaying our flesh, cutting its throat. All of our selfish desires and wants and needs to lay aside for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ laid the glory of heaven aside for you. The glory of heaven. And then word, this is a weird word. It's euprosdectus. It comes from you, it comes from pros and decima. And that means nice to handle. That's what it means. Nice to handle. Good to handle. Something that you enjoy handling. How many of you ever picked up a real smooth stone? And it felt like it was just real soft. But it really wasn't soft. It was very hard, but it was so smooth and soft. And it was pleasant to handle, wasn't it? How many of you ever picked up a cashmere? Looked at some beautiful diamond. Or seen a painting that was so real that it just looked like waves, that you could just hear the waves and smell the sea. See the sky, smell the air, these things. Beautiful things. Beautiful things. Those things are easy to handle. This word here also means approved and divinely accepted. Spiritual sacrifices. If you're ever going to do anything for God, you're going to have to slay your flesh. You're going to have to beat it into subjection. Because the flesh is going to try to go the wrong way. Always. We have our pet sins, don't we? Don't tell me you don't. We've got our pet sins and we like to fan them and keep them alive. Huh. What they are is sins. And those sins separate us from God. And they separate us from the glorious things that God wants us to do, the eternal things that God wants us to do here in this world in the right now. Okay? You can do eternal things in the right now. You can do something that will carry on for all eternity. And it is easy to handle for God. You know, some of us are like hot potatoes in God's hands. We're not easy to handle, are we? Just think about yourself for a while. Think about the worst Texas bad boy. You ever heard of Texas bad boy? I mean, I guess you're too young for that. How was the last time you heard that spoken, Mama? Texas bad boy. Your great grandmother, your grandmother used to say it all the time. You're like Texas bad boy.
Well, that was Texas bad boy.
Texas bad boy. Okay, Texas bad boy. Somebody was bad. Sometimes I'm reminded of one time I remember a story about a preacher that went into people's home and he was kind of a glutton. And he went into their home and they cooked up a lot of fried chicken, and they had some sweet potatoes there. And you know what? I don't know what anything in this world is hotter than hot sweet potatoes. Do you? And he picked up one of the sweet potatoes, put it in his mouth, and spit it right back out in the middle of his plate. He looked around and he said, "You didn't expect me to swallow that thing." He was too hot to handle. Too hot to swallow. Sometimes we're that way, aren't we, with God? Just not easily handled. Acceptable, approved, divinely accepted by God through Jesus Christ, via Jesus Christu, through or by the agency of Jesus Christ. How are we made acceptable to God? Through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his churches, he said, "Where there are two or three gathered together, I will be with you." He said, "I must go away, or else I cannot be with all of you in every place. I must go away that we can send a comforter, the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Then where there are two or three gathered together in my authority, I will be in the middle of them. I'll be there for you. I'll be right there." And we can be acceptable to God. 2 and verse 6. Dioti, peri eke, in, graphe, hidu, tithemi, in, Zion, lithon, akro, don, neonion. Okay, here's a word we had before. Eklekto, intimo, kai, ho, Pishion, ep, alto, ume, kates, kun, kinte. All right. Hote, that comes from dia and hote, two little words. And it means because. And here is a word that's a little bit difficult. It's third person singular, present indicative, active. It comes from peri and echo. Peri means around, and echo means to have. Have around. To have around, but it means more than that. It means surrounding. It means surrounding. Surrounded. I remember reading a story one time about a bunch of Bigfoots. You know what a Bigfoot is? How many of you believe in Bigfoot? Anybody here believe in Bigfoot? I do. I wouldn't believe one otherwise. Shocked me to death. Scared me plumb out of my wits. But I don't know what they are. But I saw one of them. But there was a guy way back up in the Canadian forest. And he was up there with his friend. And they had gone out and killed a Bigfoot. And they drug it into this cabin, and they were going to take it back to civilization, and they thought, "Well, we'd make $1 million selling this thing at carnivals and stuff." This is a long time ago. And they wrote a diary. And they said that this family of these Bigfoot completely surrounded their cabin. And they started beating the walls down. And they shot all their ammunition down. And they said, "Tonight, they're probably going to kill us. And it's too late because we're afraid to open the door and give them their relative or whatever this thing is. It's too late." And the last note was, "They're tearing the walls down." They were surrounded. That's what this word means here. Surrounded. Because surrounded in Scripture. Surrounded in Scripture. What's surrounded in Scripture? Jesus. The Bible, all the way from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, has one theme. Jesus. That theme is Jesus. And we look at him from 1,000 different angles. And that, in Psalm 22, it said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." That's 22 and verse 1 in Hebrew. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He said, "Oh, my My bones are out of joint. What do you think he's talking about? That was before the art of crucifixion was even invented. But it's telling about something that would happen to him. Isaiah 53 that said that he would be rejected. He would be carried and drugged as a lamb slain before its murderers. Jesus was murdered wrongly, wasn't he? He was accused of a Abba. They said a little baby, the first thing he would say is his father's name, Abba, 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 Abba. So he said, that has to be the name for father. And this man was a criminal. He was an absolute highwayman. He had killed many people. He had a gang. They were out killing people and robbing people. And this gang, two of them were on trial with him, and they were all going to be crucified. Three of them were going to be crucified. The Barabbas and two of these cohorts. And Pilate said, well, Jesus is not guilty. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to set loose an innocent man, and I'm going to release somebody to be, and I made a custom of doing this. I'm going to release him. And they said, no. Release the guilty one, Barabbas, the murderer, the killer, the assassin. You know who Barabbas stood for? Y-O-U and M-E. You and me. Because we're guilty. Do you think you ought to go to heaven today? Or your own? Is anybody here ought to go to heaven with their own merits? You go to heaven by the merits of Jesus Christ if we get there at all, though. That's the only way. Oh, I surrounded in Scripture. And then it says here, this akrogoneion. That's the word that means the corner foundation stone. This is the word that, this is that cut out, polished stone for the corner, the foundation stone. This is the stone that holds up the whole building. This is it. The cornerstone that's elected, and it's precious. The one that was picked out and precious. No blemishes. Who's the stone standing for? Is this Peter? Is this stone Peter? Who's Peter saying this stone is? Jesus. All right. Do you think that Peter did pretty good commentary on Matthew 16:18? He sure did, didn't he? Picked out and precious. And the one, and it says, and the one believing upon him, know not, ume, know not. Now, how many of you ever had a little kid and you say, no, 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 no. Yeah, keep on saying, no, no, no. That's what God is saying to us. Know not. He shall be ashamed. Know not, he shall be ashamed. The one believing upon Jesus Christ will not be ashamed. You'll never be disappointed. You will never be caused to blush. Think about that. How many of you blush easily? I think when I was a young guy, I was so bashful that I think everybody thought I had a red complexion because I blushed so much. It's all the time blushing whatever anybody said. I was embarrassed. Blush, 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 blush. The Bible says that we will never blush if we believe upon Jesus Christ. We'll never be called to blush. We will never be embarrassed. Never be embarrassed. Embarrassed before whom? Before God. How many of you tonight, if there was a fork out here in the road right outside this room, and one of them said heaven and one of them said hell, and when you walk out of here, you had to walk on one of those paths, how many would know where you're going? Mm-hmm. You It's only by the grace of God that you know it. See, that's what the gifts. That's what the mercy is about for you. That you know that you're saved, that you know that you're wrong. Do you know that a backslider never has a comfort or the assurance of heaven? Do you know that? Somebody that won't surrender his life to God never has that assurance. They don't know. They're split when they come to those things. Well, I haven't really been very good. But the Bible says that God gives you the power to go the right direction if you look to Him. The right direction. Are you ready to quit right here? Is this good enough or not? Is this a good place? All right. This is a good place. 12/4/2002. I write down in my notes when I taught different lessons and everything. I go back and sometimes I can remember the very days when I taught them. Maybe it was 1974. And I write it down. Sometimes I even write a little note what where I was and when I was teaching it and whatever. And you go back and you look at this. God does a lot better job of recording what we do than what we do. How many of you ever keep a diary? Mm-hmm. I keep a diary. I have actually two of them. I have a preaching diary. This is my 108th sermon I preached this year. It's 108. Mm-hmm. And all the ones I went down on little notes I write in there and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something. I went down here just before the class. I went and asked some of these guys that record all these lessons and stuff and have to ask them what are you using and what way you do all this stuff. And they said, we're putting it on hard disk now. And then we master it off of that on the other disks and we put them in there. That's what we're doing. God's recording machine is absolutely perfect without flaws. There won't be anything in there that you didn't do. And you will not be able to say, I didn't do that. I didn't mean that because you know what? You meant it and you did it. When you walk out of here, think about those two ways. Think about those two roads. Where are you going to go in life? Do you want to know that you're going to heaven? Or do you want to just walk off and fall down the balcony in limbo? Give your life to God. Give your daily life to God. Do eternal things. Because it's the best thing for you. It's not that God wants to keep you from having fun. He never says not to do something that's not good for you. We may think we're really cutting ourselves short if we don't go do this or we don't go do that. But we don't need to. Do eternal things. Do God's stuff. Because that's the best for us. Brother, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?
Father, we're so thankful for this night, Lord. Lord, we know that you're so faithful, and so sometimes we're not faithful to you, but Lord, you're so good to us. You've proved to you, Lord, so many times how great you are, and how much you love us, and what you, everything you did for us. We just can't comprehend sometimes how great you really are. But Father, let us draw closer and closer to you each day because you are so good. Father, I ask your presence to be with us as we lead, Lord, and your protection. And let us be here next week and we can learn more and more of your word. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Amen.